That's too long. But here we are, nonetheless, worshiping the Lord and just considering all that he has for us, for his church at this point in time. Let's start in prayer, and we have some announcements, and then we'll get into the word. Father in heaven, we come to you in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your grace and your mercy upon our lives. God, we thank you for our blessings. We thank you for our church family. Lord, we thank you for your Holy Spirit. We ask that you pour your Spirit upon us now. God, guide and direct our lives, we pray, in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, amen. Well, God bless you. Welcome. We're calling this Remember Sunday, with the emphasis on the word remember. We're all members of the body of Christ, and we're coming once again to because this is Communion Sunday, to remember Jesus and his finished work on the cross, but also to just remember the love that he poured out upon all of us and how he's connected all of us in a very, very special way by his Spirit. And so this is a good day. This is the day the Lord has made, and we'll rejoice and be glad in it. If you brought your Bible, please turn to the book of Hebrews. We're in Hebrews chapter 10. We'll wait for the helicopter to go over. Good morning. And as we look to these verses today, it's appropriate because it talks about some key points that I'd like you to take note of, at least mental note if you're not taking notes. But we're going to talk about some themes such, of course, as communion, what it means to commune with God. We're going to look at having boldness with the focus on our prayer life, boldness in our prayer life, having faith in our prayer life, praying faithfully as he is faithful to us, and also being united in our prayer life, and to assemble, whether we can assemble physically or spiritually or technologically, however we assemble, we need to assemble. And it's so important for us to do that. As we look to these verses, one main theme that jumps out at us is having boldness. And I remember being a young Christian and struggling with my life and not knowing everything I should about the Bible and what it meant to be a Christian. But I prayed for it, and I said, Lord, give me a boldness of the early church. Give me that kind of boldness where I can preach Christ to anyone, really, anyone that comes into my path that you direct me towards. And I think about boldness once in a while, the boldness that we have for different things in life, like a love of family, and especially as Thanksgiving is coming, you know, the deep desire that we have to gather in our families and the importance of maintaining those relationships. But, you know, even things like boldness like in sports and our favorite teams and our careers and our education and just putting food on the table, we have a certain degree of boldness for the things of life, don't we? But this message today is about having the boldness to be able to approach God, a holy God, us being just flesh and blood. How do we approach a holy God with boldness? So we're going to challenge ourselves with that today. Also, to pray faithfully and to pray to a God that's faithful to us and to likewise have faith as well. And thirdly, we're going to talk about the importance of coming together as a church and assembly. So our passage today, again, is in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 25. And we have three main points. Number one, to pray boldly. Number two, to pray believing. And number three, to pray together. So let me read these verses to you now. Hebrews 10, verses 19 through 25 says, "Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled with an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of others together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. The context for this is what we believe is the Apostle Paul. He remained anonymous, but many believe the Apostle Paul wrote the book of Hebrews to the Jews at the time, who were very aware they had a high priest who came in to the holiest of holies, the Holy of Holies, once a year for the Day of Atonement, for Yom Kippur, which Jews still celebrate today. And so it's a ceremony where this high priest would come in, pass through the veil, and lift up the sins of the people. So that was a part of their tradition and their culture. And that high priest who came in was just a man, wasn't he? And he had to come in to symbolically the presence of God with a clear conscience. He had to come in sinless in his own mind. He had to be able to come in and go through all the rituals that were required of the high priest for Yom Kippur, for that day, to atone for the sins of the people. So that was the symbolism that the people understood that were being written to here in the book of Hebrews. So we see that a high priest, knowing he was a man, walking into the Holy of Holies, knowing he still had his own sin to deal with, he came into that Holy of Holies with fear and trembling. And Bible says and tradition says that he actually had a rope around his ankle. And in case, in the last minute, Yahweh decided against him because of his sin, they could yank him out. He even had bells. They had bells around and tassels around their cloaks. And if that bell stopped ringing, they could yank the high priest out real quick. So they would enter in thinking, wow, I hope God doesn't zap me in this time, right? Because maybe a certain sin. And I'm sure they were praying all the way in that that wouldn't happen. Contrastly, we can enter in with boldness, not in of ourselves, but because of the cross of Christ. So our first point this morning, we're called to pray boldly. Verse 19 here in Hebrews 10 says, "Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus." The word bold there means cheerful courage. It means unreservedness. I remember as a young Christian, it weighed on me because I felt like I was always holding back because I didn't know the Bible well enough. I didn't know how to witness to people. I didn't know certain basics of just being a Christian. And I always felt myself holding back. And it's taken me years to get to a point where maybe I'm in a different kind of situation or a point where I know I've got to witness to somebody or I've got to serve or whatever it might be in doing the things of God, is that I've learned you have to pray in that moment and say, God, give me the words to witness or help me to do this service correctly or help me to make sure I'm serving with a pure heart, you know, whatever it may be. And it's the Holy Spirit that comes in at that moment and gives us everything we need. The boldness, the words, the peace, the loving heart, whatever it is to serve in that moment. And he's so faithful to do that. So that's what gives us the assurance to be able to pray boldly. And it's the Holy Spirit that comforts us in those moments. So we should have the boldness to be able to do what? To be able to pray big. We have a big God. How big is your God? You know, when we come into the throne room of God, he already knows our hearts, doesn't he? And there's those things in our hearts that are a burden to us sometimes. If we have a burden to reunite our families or to heal from certain diseases or to serve the church in a new way, to serve in our community, whatever it might be, that sometimes maybe certain things seem out of reach, but they're not out of reach for God, and we can pray boldly in those moments. We can ask for boldness to act and be more loving, to commune and have fellowship with God and know what that means, to preach Christ, to teach the word, to witness to others, and to love the unlovable, and even to love our enemies. We have access to approach God boldly because of the cross of Christ. We can enter into the Holy of Holies with boldness because of the shed blood, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. We are covered. So we're not just walking in simply as a man or a woman into the presence of God that we're filled with sin. We're walking in. God doesn't see our sin, even now. He sees us covered by the blood. And if you're here today and you don't have that assurance that you can come to God and pray boldly, then ask for it. And he will make you a new creation. And the blood of Christ covers us of all of our sins in that moment. And Jesus said regarding the cross, regarding the Last Supper and his shed blood and his broken body was, do this in remembrance of me. That's why we're calling this Remember Sunday. So we remember what Jesus did for us on the cross and how it changes our life, especially our prayer life, so we come to God with a full assurance and a clear conscience. Verse 20 says, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil that is his flesh. So we have a new and living way. Jesus ushers us into the presence of God, and we pray to a living God. It's not ceremonial. It's not a ritual. It's not a vain repetition. Jesus called it like the works-based religions have today. We are sharing and opening our heart to a loving and living God. So ask yourself, when you pray, do you realize you're praying to a God that is alive and knows your heart, knows your thoughts, and he wants that kind of communion with you? And you don't have to make an appointment. You just close your eyes and ask God into your heart, and you start speaking to him. I think this is a problem, not only for the world, because they probably think we're just speaking into the wind when we pray, but possibly for many Christians too. I think there's things that hinder us from prayer, whether it's our own sin, our own attitudes, something maybe we're caught up in. But I think if we were all honest, we would admit how easy prayer is, how accessible it is to us. And for a flesh and blood being to close our eyes and bow our hearts to a holy God who's in heaven, it seems impossible, but it's not. Through the cross, Jesus made a way for us to have access and to reconnect with the Father, to reestablish our relationship with him, so we could commune with him, we could have fellowship with him. He consecrated that, Jesus did, so he made a way. That word consecrated means to initiate. Jesus started that so that we would carry on and do it accordingly. Hebrews 9:12-14 says, "With his own blood he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling unclean sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?" If you're going into prayer and you're hesitating, right? And you're thinking, "Wow, Lord, I'm not worthy to even talk to you right now because of my sins," you go to the cross and you say, "Lord, thank you for forgiving me of my sins yesterday, today, and forever. Thank you, Lord, that my sins are separated as far as the east is from the west, buried in the deepest part of the ocean, never to be seen again because of Jesus' work on the cross." So if you are hesitant to come to the Father in prayer, go to the cross. I remember closing my eyes and imagining myself at the base of the cross and putting my hand on the cross, on the vertical beam, and sensing the warm blood of Jesus coming down over my hand and say, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you for forgiving me of my sin. Thank you that now I can come to the Father in prayer." When Jesus died on the cross, the veil in the Holy of Holies was torn from top to bottom. Jesus redeemed us from top to bottom. His body was brutalized and bled on the cross. And the veil is a type of Jesus. And the anti-type of that is Jesus himself and his body. Jesus' body was torn like the veil. Matthew 27:51 says, "Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth quaked and the rocks were split." Jesus made access to the Father through prayer. But there's a veil over the eyes of non-believers, isn't there? And when we pray for our non-believing family and friends, we say, "Lord, remove the scales," right? Like what happened to Apostle Paul at Damascus. "Remove the scales from their eyes, God, so they can see you." There's a veil in their eyes and their hearts spiritually that they can't see Christ right now. But we can pray that that veil comes off and they're able to see Jesus for who he is. 2 Corinthians 3:14 says, "But their minds were blinded, for until this day the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament, because the veil is taken away in Christ." The Hebrews, the audience of this book, and the Jews still today have a spiritual veil on their eyes until they see Jesus as their Messiah. The fruit of all this is that he cleanses our conscience because of his work on the cross. God knows our hearts, doesn't he? He knows everything about us. We're his creation. And I think it's helpful when we come into prayer that God already knows my heart. He already knows what I'm thinking. He already knows maybe if I have a hesitation, or maybe if I have to ask somebody for forgiveness, or whatever that hesitation might be. His beauty, his pure spirit cleanses us. And his mercy and his grace enable us to come to him. Hebrews 4:16 says, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in our time of need." God's a merciful God. He knows what we're made of. But because we're covered by the blood of the Lamb, the blood of Jesus on the cross, we can enter boldly into his presence in prayer. Secondly, we need to pray believing. So we pray with boldness because of the cross, and now we pray with a believing heart that God's going to answer our prayers. The word hold fast means to keep secure, to stay firm, to stay the course, like you're in a ship or in an airplane. Stay the course, right? Stay on that narrow path that Jesus has defined for you. 1 Thessalonians 5:21 says, test all things, hold fast to what is good. We hold on to the good things of God. And especially now, if you've come here this morning, you feel just a little off because of something, confess that. Confess that to the Lord, especially before we go into communion, and let him cleanse your conscience and give you peace once again. But we have to do this without wavering, so we don't get discouraged. Who discourages us? The world, the flesh, the devil, constantly attacking our minds, right? Saying, Brad, you call yourself a Christian. Who do you think you are? You're a pastor. Who do you think you are? You're just a man. You know, all these things that the enemy wants to do to stop this, to stop our assembly, stop our worship, to stop walking with Jesus, essentially. But we can't listen to those voices, can we? We can't be discouraged, church. And we have to be very careful in this time not to be isolated. I know that's what the world wants us to do, is stay at home and cower, but we're not going to do that, right? We're going to pray boldly that this COVID evaporate. We're going to pray boldly for our nation, however the election turns out. We're going to pray for God's hand upon his church, that we're able to walk through this difficult time. But don't get isolated. And if you feel isolated, call a brother, call a sister, ask for prayer. Don't listen to those wrong voices. Don't live in fear like the world wants to keep us down in fear, don't they? See it for what it is. When you turn on the news, they're peddling fear, okay? Don't let them get away with it. Pray about it. Ask for boldness. Ask for healing and the ability to move on and to live boldly for Christ. Don't ever think or believe that your life doesn't count, that God's church is over, that the assembly isn't important. Don't get isolated because those thoughts can run away from us. Your life counts because you can pray for your brothers and sisters in Christ. You can come in to the Holy of Holies with a clear conscience and ask God to strengthen and bless and keep his church. We're part of a great cause, the cause of Christ, the gospel that changes the world. Thirdly, we got to pray together. Pray for boldness, pray believing in faith, and pray together. And we can do that on the phone. We have the technology. We're going to stay together through this. We're going to follow the rules however we have to. We're going to abide in Christ. We're going to obey our leaders. And we're going to stay together in this, church. So pray together. Verse 24 says, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. That's why we gather. This is so different, church, than it's been since Margaret and I joined you 7 weeks ago, almost 2 months now. This is better, okay, to see you and to share Christ with you and to just be with you. Because you stir us up. You encourage us. We got to meet two sisters last week for the first time, Betty Jo and Verlene, and we hope to meet more of you today afterwards. If we haven't met you yet, please come up and meet Margaret and I. That's part of this service today is meet and greet. So please, if we haven't met you yet, please come and introduce yourselves, because we love this. We love seeing you face to face. Verse 21, and having a high priest over the house of God, we have a high priest that is standing at the right hand of the Father. Jesus has all authority over heaven and earth. He's our high priest. He's our Savior, our Lord, our Redeemer, our Mediator, our Good Shepherd, our Father, our friend, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And he's praying for us. He's making intercession for us. Hebrews 4:14 says, seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. Jesus is our high priest. The high priest in Hebrew tradition can only come into the Holy of Holies once a year. We can come in anytime because of Jesus. And we're welcome to do that, to draw near to him. Verse 22, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. I love the closeness of God that he gives us through his Holy Spirit, through that peace, through that joy, through that assurance. We know that our souls are saved, that we're going to go through this life victorious. We are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. Take those truths to heart, church, and let it embolden you and strengthen you now at this time. And come to him with a clear conscience. That's what communing with Jesus is all about, is to wash us. And church, we have to be in the Word every day. Okay? It's the Bible that serves to remind us how much God loves us, how much he has a plan for us, and a hope, and a future, and just his goodness and his good character are all revealed there in the Word of God. So we've got to be in the Word every day. And I encourage you, as we hope to gather more regularly, bring your Bibles. If you don't have a Bible, we'll get you one. We'll find a way. But bring your Bibles to church so we can walk through the Word of God together. 1 John 1:7 says, but we walk in the light as he is in the light. We have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sins. As we sing out of the hymnal, oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. It's the blood of Jesus that cleanses us from our sins and gives us a clear conscience to be able to enter boldly into his throne room. And the purpose of coming together again like today is to stir up one another. That word in the Greek means to provoke. Usually provoke is a negative thing. It's like, you know, oh, they provoked me and I got angry, or God was provoked to anger. But this is a positive way of provoking. It's like a spiritual poking and saying, wow, that sister, that brother really encouraged me, and they offered to pray for me, and they are going to continue to offer to pray for me. What a blessing when we come together and do that. Verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more, as you see the day approaching. We assemble now. That word, the only other time it's used is in 1 Thessalonians 4, where it talks about the rapture. You know, we assemble now, and maybe before this end of the service, he's going to assemble us in the air. As we're raptured, we're going to be gathered together. What a blessed hope we have. We have to be the church every day. That's Sunday through Saturday, isn't it? Tomorrow, pray for your church. Pray for your church family. Be in prayer every day. Be in your word. And let's love and exhort one another. The blessing of coming together like this is we're accountable to each other. Brother, sister, how can I pray for you? How is your health? You know, whatever those questions might be. How's your work life? How's your family life? How can I pray for you? It's so encouraging for us to be able to do that. And we live expectantly as we see the day approaching. Boy, our world is changing, isn't it? You know, there's so much anger in the world. The world needs Jesus now more than ever, don't we? We need to love one another now more than ever. And Jesus is going to lead the way and show us how to do that. But we have to be in constant communion with God through prayer and through each other, okay? And don't take for granted the assembly when we come together. So in this Remember Sunday, remember what Jesus did for us on the cross, but let's pray we can constantly come together to remember together. Amen? Another way to think of it is, Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me, as we're going to head into communion, and the communion board can come forward now, so we can pray for the elements. And as we come in to the presence of God, if anything's hindering us, we can remember the cross and how God forgets and does not remember our sins. Hebrews 10:17 says, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. What a blessing. Thank you, Lord. The world has a disease. And I'm not talking about COVID. The world has had this worldwide pandemic since Adam and Eve. It's the disease of sin. And we have the vaccine. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. And please take that to heart when you're witnessing Sunday through Saturday, okay? And let's be a good witness for Jesus Christ. Remember these three points. Pray boldly because of the cross. Pray believing because God is faithful. And let's pray together with a sense of urgency that Jesus could come any moment. And that means some of our family and friends might be left behind. Let's pray more fervently for them. Amen? So now, as we head into communion, there's something we all need to do. Because it's been a while since we've had communion, the Bible talks in 1 Corinthians about examining yourself before you partake of the elements. And this is an important time for all of us to be able to get right with God, maybe to reestablish our relationship with the Lord, and truly examine our hearts and present our hearts to God. So let's pray, and then we'll distribute the elements. Father in heaven, we come to you once again. God, and we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the cross that saves us. God, we just lift up this time of communion with you, and we just pray that you pour out your Spirit upon us as we truly consider who we are in Christ and how we are to fulfill the great commission, God, to preach Christ and him crucified, Lord. So bless this communion time. Give us the peace that surpasses all understanding, Lord, as we commune with you now. And thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you made a way for us to do this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Please distribute the elements. And once you receive them, please hold them till the end so that we can all